It's time for Under Your Home with DryZone. DryZone in Milton, Delaware, your complete source for basement and crawl space waterproofing, foundation repair, and basement finishing. 24-hour service. We never sleep at DryZone. 888-617-0363 or online at DryZone.com/the duck.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Anderson with Under Your Home with DryZone. And as promised, Jason Harmon said he was going to join me this morning. So, Jason, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for asking.
We always have great ideas for you folks and some great questions and some great things we like to talk about. So, Jason, let's just go ahead and get right into the meat of this thing, right?
Yeah, let's go for it, Bill. You know, today we've sort of taken an angle of the cost of not fixing your crawl space. And a lot of people think, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Well, that's not really true when you have an issue with your crawl space. And there could be a number of issues with a crawl space. Number one, the most common issue is a high moisture content or actually standing water in the crawl space. But there are other things, too, which we're going to touch on, such as heating and cooling bills and deterioration of wood, and termites, and other health concerns. So let's sort of start out with talking a little bit about heating bills and cooling costs, Bill.
Well, listen, folks, if you remember, you know, a few weeks back we had David Lawson in here from Dr. Energy Saver, right? I appreciate outside folks when they come in here and talk to us. And like I said, that's why I want to get some other folks in here, because we really wanted to do this program is from an educational standpoint. So when we talk about, you know, the heating and cooling, David talked about the fact that it costs a lot more to heat and cool wet air than it does dry air. Well, it's even, in my opinion, even a lot more than that. Because, you know, our last episode, Jason, we had talked about this insulation in your floors, right? And that was one of the questions that a homeowner had is, well, why should I pull it down? And, you know, they've heard all these different things about what they should do, what they shouldn't do, where it should be, why it shouldn't be here. Well, when you have, say, 90-degree temperature, and let's face it, that's pretty much what we have around here, right? You know, at least in the summertime. So we're, you know, 85, 90, 95, sometimes 100-degree air. Well, the whole idea with those vents is we're supposed to let that air come down into our crawl space. And even in the wintertime, when those vents are closed, they're not really closed, because you can go in your crawl space and look right outside. So when you have that really high, hot air come outside, it comes inside. And if hot air truly rises, that means that your crawl space is going to be cool and fairly temperate for most of the year. Would you agree, Jason?
Correct, Bill, yes.
Okay. So if that's true, we're taking 90-degree air, we're bringing it into, say, you know, a 55, 60-degree crawl space. And when you have that type of temperature variance, you get condensation, right? So you get condensation, you know, people say, my ducts are sweating and my pipes are sweating and my, you know, all these things are sweating. Well, it's even worse than that. I mean, it happens on the inside, too, of the ducts, right? So if that's true, then you're going to have to start worrying about the galvanization, because galvanization doesn't, number one, last forever. And number two, I mean, it's a very thin layer of galvanization on those ducts anyway. And half time, there's no, most ducts, at least that I come across, it's not even galvanized anyway. It's just simple fiberboard. So that starts getting condensation down in there. And we all have dust and everything else that's in our house. And that's that organic material that, you know, that floats around inside of our ducts. And we start talking about the molds in there, right? If we have all these ducts that are surrounded by 60-degree air and we have an intrusion of, you know, 80, 90-degree air, well, that's what's that going to do to the inside of the duct?
You're going to get condensation, moisture.
Condensation, but it also warms up the air, too,
that's
right?
That's correct, yes.
So you're paying to have your house at 60-some degrees. And if these ducts are being warmed up or cooled down depending on the season, that's going to make your heater run longer, your air conditioner run longer. So, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, how much more does that cost you to run your heating and air conditioning?
The thing is, Bill, dry air is easier to heat and it's also easier to cool. Mm-hmm. So if we can condition your crawl space and control the humidity in your crawl space, it's only natural that your heating and air conditioning costs are going to be less.
I talked with David after the show a few weeks back, and one of the things that he said, because I'm like, you know, listen, how come my air conditioning bills or my electric bill, because everything in my house is electric, I didn't like gas, I didn't want that option. How come in the summertime my electric bills are only like 80, 90 bucks? And I run my air conditioner just as much as I run my heater in the wintertime. And he was like, you know, because in the wintertime it's far much more above that. So he was like, Billy, listen, you know, there's different coils that get turned on and everything else. So he's like, it definitely works differently. It's not just me from a layman's point of view, from an HVAC standpoint. I didn't know the difference. I just figured you turned one thing on, something worked, it either became hot or cold or whatever. Well, it definitely costs, like you just said, it costs you a lot more to heat that wet air than it does dry air. And ever since I've had them out to my personal house, I've definitely seen my, you know, my electric bills go down. And, you know, they talked more about, even more than, I guess, in the crawl space, they talked about, you know, sealing some stuff up inside my house. And we had, did some different things and found out that my own ducts were leaking a lot more than what they thought they were. So the only good thing is that David pointed out I had some very, very leaky ducts. And at least that those ducts, since I have my crawl space encapsulated and conditioned and everything else, you know, at least it's helping me keep that air inside that building envelope, because there's no insulation in my floors. All my insulation, I have it on my sidewalls and my foundation, because I'm trying to keep all that air from coming in the first place. And if I'm not having that, those different forces is affecting that air that's in there, it was better than having nothing, but it was still extremely leaky. So one of the things that we've done when we partnered up with Dr. Energy is we, in a lot of circumstances, we can actually give homeowners that free energy audit. So it's last week we talked about trust but verify. That was one of the questions we had. If I can remember, Jason, how did it go? It was something about how should they choose a contractor? Who should they trust? Something like that.
Correct.
Well, that's one of those trust but verify thing. You have this third party coming into your home, looking at it. They'll be able to, well, numbers just don't lie, and that's why I like math. You know, they're going to be able to tell you, hey, listen, yeah, it's buttoned up down there, or it's not buttoned up down there. So I just feel that it's extremely important that just because I say I'm the expert, just because Jason says, or Kevin, or Johnny, or Bert, or whoever, you know, your designer may be, we're having third parties that can come in and actually check our work.
Let's repeat something, too, to our listeners today, Bill, concerning the air in their home. Approximately 50% of the air that you breathe in your living area of your house is coming out of your crawl space or your basement, whichever you have, because a house is like a chimney. The house is drawing the air up. It comes from your crawl space or your basement up through any little crevice there is between the floors and the house, and goes up through the house and is exhausted out of the vents in your attic space. So your air is constantly being changed. And that air that's being drawn into the house from the lower level, if we can condition that air, it's going to help from a number of angles, not only your heating and cooling costs, but also the quality of the air coming up will be much better.
You know, Jason, you're absolutely right. I couldn't agree with you more. It's amazing when you really start researching this, and, you know, that kind of comes back to these books that we send you. You know, a lot of this information that we're going to give you, it's common sense stuff. You know, hot air rises, just like Jason said. Well, if that's true, then you can actually really look at the different forces inside of your house with that. With just this common sense, you know, hot air rises, water goes downhill. You know, there's no ambiguity in that, right? There's no questions, there's no mistakes, nothing. It comes from an educational standpoint. Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of our homeowners, I think they had questions before we ever sent them our literature. Now they're actually speaking in terms that we talk in, because now they're educated.
Education is a great thing, Bill. But, you know, you can have a lot of book learning and a lot of school housing, but if you don't have common sense, you don't have a good education. And that's what I feel with Dry Zone. They're providing a lot of common sense to our installers and our salespeople concerning the conditions they're going to run into when they go out to look at homes and inspect them.
Well, Jason, I'll tell you what. Let's talk about rotted wood. That's definitely one of the costs of not fixing your crawl space, right? We have this damp environment down there, and wood and water make wood rot, right?
Oh boy, Bill, when you talk about rotted wood, in a lot of cases, you're looking at an extreme cost to replace that rotted wood. When you start replacing girders and floor joists, you're looking at a very, very high cost. So why let your house get to that condition? Get us out here to take a look at your property and tell you whether or not you need something done to prevent this wood from rotting. We've seen houses where we could take a wooden pencil and stick it through the floor joists if they were so rotten.
Jason, I tell you, we were under a house, I guess it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was able to actually grab the girder. That's the main backbone of your home. And I was actually able to break all three pieces of the 2x10 off with my hand. I mean, this place was just, it was gone. You know, I've seen the opposite, too, where I've been underneath the home, and this contractor came out and told the homeowner that they had a wood-eating fungus, and they had this wood rot. They got a case of wood rot. We went underneath there, and it really wasn't that bad. So how does a homeowner really know they have wood rot? Because, you know, let's face it, a lot of homeowners just aren't going to go underneath their house.
Most homeowners very seldom ever go in their crawl space. And a lot of homeowners are not capable of getting in their crawl space, especially older people that can't get down on their hands and knees and crawl through that little opening. And this is what we're here for. If you think you've got a problem, call us. We'll be glad to come out. But, you know, there's another thing you have to think about. You need to maintain your home, because at some point in time, that house is going to be sold, or it's going to be perhaps left to a child when you become deceased. So you're going to pay for that problem one way or another. Either you're going to pay for it now, and it's not going to occur, and you're not going to have a real problem. Or if you sell that house and a home inspection is done and they find all this rotted wood under there, one of two things is going to happen, or one of three things, actually. Either you're going to lose that buyer, you're going to have to repair it at your cost, or you're going to have to drop the price of your house considerably to cover what the buyer's going to have to pay to repair it. So do it now, because it's going to be cheaper to do it now than it is 10 years from now.
Jason, one of the things that I hate to see, we'll get called out to a house and, you know, the price is X, and the homeowner's like, nah, 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 it's too much. I'm thinking about selling in about a year, whatever. And you're like, okay, call me if you need me. Well, it's funny, because a year later, and sometimes, I mean, it's almost to the day or to the month, they'll say, well, listen, I've got a buyer, but the home inspector went underneath there. What do we need to do to get this thing sold? Because the new homeowner, or the person who's thinking about buying the house, isn't going to buy somebody else's headache. So it just kills me when people spend that much money to fix a home when they could have did it a year ago and actually had some of the benefits of it. Some people just absolutely suffer from indoor allergens, you know, whether it's the dust mites or whether it's the molds. And, you know, let's face it, molds in every 2x4 in your house, because we've always known somebody that's had a leaky ceiling and they've taken off the sheetrock and they've, you know, sprayed some Clorox or whatever on the wood and the studs and everything, and they've kind of fixed the leak and put the sheetrock back. Well, it wasn't like the mold was hanging out on the table for it to happen. You know, it was already in the wood and the sheetrock and everything else. So, like Jason said, for heaven's sakes, don't wait to have the things fixed, because Jason, and correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the biggest things I talk about in my office is it takes a very long time to go from good to bad. It just doesn't take a very long time to go from bad to worse. Something we'll be talking about in the next few weeks is the actual cost of fixing it now, while it's not a big problem, as to, you know, in a few years or whatever when it does become a big problem, because that's definitely a more involved and it's a more expensive project.
Bill, I was in real estate for quite a few years, and we had a saying concerning first impressions. First impressions mean a lot to a buyer when they start looking at a house. And an encapsulated crawl space is one of those things that when a buyer sees that the homeowner has had the foresight to go ahead and encapsulate that crawl space to give him a better living condition, they're not going to tend to try and pick apart anything else in the house that might be wrong that's a minor item. But if you've got a bad crawl space, they're going to start looking for everything else that's wrong with that house also.
Yeah, Jason, you know, I've actually had homeowners tell me, listen, Billy, my house sold this much faster. There was a lady that we had their crawl space done, and a few years later she ended up passing. Well, we got a letter from her son that said, listen, I so appreciate what you did for my mom. You know, I don't know if I necessarily agreed with it when we were having it done, but I do now, because the biggest reason why we sold this house was because the home inspector went in there and said, if these people took that much care of their crawl space, can you imagine how well they took care of the rest of the house that they actually live in? And this was during that horrible time we had with the mortgage crisis and, you know, houses and everything else. This house was able to sell for exactly what the homeowner wanted it for because of that first impression that the home inspector got. Because, you know, let's face it, at least the home inspectors I know, that's where they start out at, because you start from the bottom and work your way up to the top. So, you know, he went in the crawl space and was like, wow, I can't believe this thing looked that good. This thing's, we're going to have to give him an A. So, well, Jason, I tell you, I think we're actually ready for a break. So if you'll hang on through the break, I'd appreciate it. And folks, we'll be right back.
Your home is your biggest investment and provides warmth and shelter for you and your family. Now is the time to prepare your home for the winter weather that is just around the corner. Do you have a wet basement, water in your crawl space, or cracks in your foundation? Dry Zone provides waterproofing and crawl space encapsulation products and services all over Delaware and the eastern shore of Maryland. Call Dry Zone at 888-617-0360 for a free inspection and estimate, or log on at dryzone.com/the duck. Dry Zone will keep you ahead of the storm. Call 888-617-0360.
Here's a thought for businesses. If the sky began to fall right now, you'd hear about it right now on the radio. Tomorrow you'd read about it as history in the paper. Hi, this is Account Executive Kirsten Stromer of MTS Broadcasting, radio advertising. It's timely, it's frequent, it's in your home, in your car, in your office, on the beach, it's everywhere. And it's cost-effective. Let me put the power of radio to work for you. Call me at 410-228-4800 or click sales on our homepage at mtslive.com.
All right, Jason, it looks like we are back on the air.
Okay, well, we're still talking about crawl spaces, and listeners, don't forget, we also do basements, too, not just crawl spaces. But today, we're really, really hitting the crawl spaces because this is one of the areas that we find that there's a great deal of problem with on the Delmarva Peninsula. We haven't talked about termites yet, Bill. Let's talk a little bit about termites.
Termites are basically these little bugs. Well, they're not basically. They are these little bugs, right? And they burrow through wood to get nutrition, and that's how they survive. So it's like us. We don't go to the woods anymore. Well, some of us do go to the woods to find our meals, but, you know, we don't go walking down the road to find our wood. We go to the store, right? So, and Jason's laughing as I say that. But termites, their supermarket is wood, and that wood has to be wet. Termites don't eat dry wood. And why is that, Jason?
Well, they're eating the cellulose in the wood. That's for one thing.
As they're eating the cellulose, what they're doing is they're chewing it up. Cellulose has no nutritional value. So, Jason, how many times have you seen termite damage in your life?
A lot.
Okay. Well, normally, you see a whole bunch of sawdust there, right?
Correct.
If that is true, that termites eat wood, then why is there sawdust there? Doesn't make any sense, right? Like I said, we talked about it right before the break. We want to talk about common sense things. If termites eat wood, why is there still wood when they're done? So what they're doing is they're basically getting the pulp out of the way to get to the mildew, the mold, and the microbes. That actually has nutritional value. So when you talk to termite guys, what's the biggest thing they always talk about? The mulch. They always say, get it away from the house, right? Got to have the mulch away from the house because mulch is always wet underneath. It's like the sand. Sand's always dry on top, but, you know, you dig an inch or two into it, it's nice and wet. So if we can get that wet wood away, we stop the termites. It's actually, all these things are actually a passive termite system.
And the other thing about a termite, too, is that a termite has to return to the ground to get moisture. And that's why you see the little tunnels coming up your block walls to the wood members of your house. This little tunnel is made out of mud. And the termites build these tunnels to go through to get from the ground to their food source. And if you can control moisture here again, this is helping to control your termites.
Yeah, and once again, you know, going back to a question I believe we had last week, we make sure that we leave that 3-inch place, that inspection place at the top of our systems, so that way the termite guys can still fix anything they need to fix. They can still drill the holes, and they actually inject this fog, this pesticide, into the hollow cores of the block to try to kill termites and everything else. So we allow that inspection. Now, one of the things that we offer folks, doesn't happen as much around here, but there's some builders from Pennsylvania and I think from Jersey that come down here, and they'll take, you know, blocks are 8 inches wide, right? Concrete blocks 8 inches wide, and I've seen them use like a 2x4 or 2x6 as their sill plate. So what happens is you can actually reach the top of the block and put your hands inside every hollow core. You see it a lot in garages. I don't know why garages are able to be built that way. Regular houses aren't. But we have this thing called a wall cap. So somebody in our company has thought about, oh, well, termites can crawl up here very easily. So we actually have this clear wall cap that we use that will still allow us to see the termites, and it also stops the moisture that comes out of those hollow cores, because that's definitely a big spot for moisture. When we do a normal sill plate over top of a normal block, we actually seal as many areas up as we can right there to stop any of that moisture from that, like Jason talked about a little while ago, that stack effect, that, you know, that hot air rises, and you're still going to get somewhat of a stack effect even in a concrete column, that block, those hollow cores that are inside that block.
We've been talking about termites for a while, but there are a lot of other little varmints that are living underneath your crawl space, also underneath your house, and there are things like crickets, spiders, that sort of thing. Even snakes. We run into snakes. We run into mice and rat skeletons when we go underneath houses. And by encapsulating that crawl space, we're going to basically eliminate those problems also.
Yeah, you know, when we first started Dry Zone, Jason, I was on the radio, and somebody asked me what a camelback cricket was. And for those of you who do not know what a camelback cricket is, these things have like this little round body or oval body, kind of shape of a football. And they're no more than, what, about an inch big, Jason?
At the most.
Okay. Well, they have these spidery legs, and they jump around. And they don't jump like a normal thing. They jump straight up in the air. And the first time I was ever in a crawl space, Jason, and I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but I stuck my face down in there, and I turned my head to the left, and these things, I mean, there was thousands of them. I mean, they were lined up like the Nazis at Nuremberg. I mean, they were just, as far as the eye could see, there were just these cricket things. And it actually freaked me out. And one ended up jumping in my face. I wigged out for a second trying to figure out exactly what was on me. And, you know, that was my first introduction into a crawl space, Jason. But those things, we'll see them a lot in a crawl space. And I always make sure that I have something in my hand to get rid of those things. I don't like them. But when we finish encapsulating the crawl spaces, after about a week or two, they all go away, because they're just like everything else. We've taken away their food source. We've taken away their moisture, because the ground's inherently damp, so they can still get moisture out of the ground, right? And if there's no food source and there's no water, you know, they die. It's just like us. If we can't get any food and if we can't get any water, we don't last very long either. So, you know, that's my ooky little story for you this morning about camelback crickets, Jason.
Okay, Bill. Well, shall we move along to another concern that is created by problem crawl spaces, and that's health concerns. Bill, you've probably had some specific things addressed to you by homeowners.
You know, Jason, I have, and we've been doing this a long time. We always hear that, oh, I get migraines, you know, oh, my son has asthma, and it's a lot of times that's a real thing. Sometimes I meet the husband, and he's like, ah, the wife, she's just nuts, right? She just thinks that there's a problem. So you're here just to humor her. So I always invite both parties down underneath the crawl space. And, you know, I've had some homeowners go underneath there and be like, oh, my God, Billy, I need to go outside and get a mask. I can't believe how bad this is. Whether it's the asthmas, the allergies, the, you know, whatever a homeowner has, we can eliminate a lot of those issues.
We can help with those issues. We're not saying that by encapsulating your crawl space, we're going to cure your asthma or any other thing that you might have. But there is a very, very good possibility that it is going to help to eliminate some of the problems that you presently have. We talked earlier about dust mites, the number one allergen. That is something that can be easily taken care of. And all of the other things that are coming up with the air out of an unconditioned crawl space getting into your house can be causing you some problems. And if we can clean up that air, and we can condition that air, and we can condition your crawl space, there's a potential that we can help with some of your health issues. As I said earlier, we're not going to cure them, but we think that we can help with them.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Jason, like dust mites, that's the number one indoor allergen. And I can't stress it enough, because if we can actually eliminate the number one indoor allergen, imagine how much healthier we could actually be. And I'm not this great big green guy who runs around and, you know, I smoked for a long time and, you know, I ate a great big old greasy cheeseburger before I got here this morning, you know. And when you talk about these dust mites, I mean, they're just horrible little creatures. They look like little ticks under a microscope almost. And really, it's kind of what they are, because they're parasites, really, I guess. Because, you know, they live in our bed and they live in our couches and they eat our dead skin. And Jason, you so eloquently put it last time, you know, we're actually allergic to their droppings. So there's nothing like laying in a bed with a whole bunch of bug droppings in it, right? It's kind of a gross little thing, but when we breathe that, people who are allergic to it really suffer. I've seen people, I mean, we've all heard of Erin Brockovich, and she won some big cases, and I think she actually was involved in a case in her own home that it had black mold everywhere. You know, I tell homeowners, I'm colorblind, so black mold, green mold, purple mold, blue mold, it doesn't really matter. It's, you know, the only really good mold is in pizza, cheese, and beer, right? When you have these molds in your house, I don't think homeowners should necessarily freak out and rush their kids to the Marriott for a week while we're working. I just think you need to start addressing those issues, because it comes down to a time, Jason, where we just can't put our head in the sand anymore. When we talk to homeowners, a big thing they have is, listen, my dad lived in a home for 50 years and it didn't have mold. Why do I have it? Well, you know, my answer to a lot of those homeowners is, listen, your dad's house was built in, say, 1940, right? The wood they used in 1940 was a lot hardier than it is today. You know, Jason, you were in the lumber business for 110 years, I guess. How did the woods look when you were young as compared to now?
Well, years ago, a lot of wood was cut locally, and they were using the better woods like oak, which is a very hard wood. And they did not have the laminate materials that we have today, which contain different kinds of glues. And we were using more solid products than we were laminated products. And the method of construction back then actually was not as good in one way as today, because the houses weren't sealed as well, which actually made them ventilated, you might say, which today we find is not a good thing. Back then, they didn't have the products that we have today for insulation and floor coverings and that sort of thing.
Well, that, so, there was no mechanicals down there either.
There were no mechanicals underneath the house either. We had a space heater or a wood stove to heat the house. So it was a totally different situation than it is today.
Jason, my father-in-law, he ended up redoing his house. He had to dig his house out. He took out all of his floors and all the floor joists just so we could actually really get to the crawl space. When he was younger, my brother-in-law actually had, and he was a small guy back then, he was, you know, really, really small, apparently had to try to, he was the only one who could fit under the house, so he always snaked his son underneath his house, and he dug this little channel all the way around from where the electric panel was for wherever they needed to fish wires up. What we did was we ended up dropping the level of the crawl space down, so we actually ended up building and almost lifted up his house, put a new foundation in, and had that crawl space a lot deeper in the ground just to fit the different mechanicals that he needs now, because it just had like this great big pellet stove that they used. It used to be a wood burning stove, now it's a pellet stove. And you know, he said when he was doing this, he wanted the geothermals and all that other good stuff in his house. Well, that requires room. That's the reason why contractors are starting to dig down into the ground, because it still makes the houses look like they were a long time ago. And when they do that, you have different environments than we had in 1940 and 1950, because we just didn't have the HVAC and all that stuff running through there. And that's, you know, a big reason why we're getting more condensation, is because we've introduced unnatural things into a space that was really never meant to be ventilated in the first place. But,
well, not only that too, but we have a very high water table here on the Delmarva Peninsula. And as crawl spaces were deepened and basements were put in, even there's the potential for more moisture access into those areas, because we've become closer to the water table. In fact, the water table here on the peninsula has actually risen over the last few years, and we strike water at a lesser depth than we did years ago.
Yeah, I know down in Ocean Pines, you know, whenever we do foundation work, we're hitting water like 18 inches, and that's even during the droughts. You're absolutely right when it comes to that. Things are just different than they were 50 years ago. I mean, things change, things move, things just completely change. One thing that doesn't change, Jason, though, is our phone number, right?
That's correct, Bill. That remains the same.
So let's go ahead and give out that number for everybody, because our time's just about up this morning.
888-617-0363.
You can also reach us at dryzone.com/the duck, and we always ask for people to email us, let us know what they're thinking, if they have any questions or whatever. My email address is bill@dryzone.com.
My address is jason@dryzone.com.
They make it that easy for us, don't they?
They sure do.
Everybody else in the office has a lot of different numbers in it. I think they, I don't think they think highly of us, Jason. They make it easy for us.
Yeah. Another thing, Bill, that you mentioned earlier was that things are different today than they were years ago. The good thing is that products are progressing to the point where we can control these conditions that we didn't have years ago.
All right. Well, Jason, one thing we can't control is the time that we have left this morning. So let's give out that number one more time. It's 888-617-0363 or dryzone.com/the duck. I always get that wrong. So it's dryzone.com/the duck. And Jason, I will see you next time.
Great, Bill. Good to see you.
You've been listening to Under Your Home with DryZone. Dry Zone in Milton, Delaware, your complete source for basement and crawl space waterproofing, foundation repair, and basement finishing. 24-hour service. We never sleep at Dry Zone. 888-617-0363 or online at dryzone.com/the duck.